sermon title today is called The Right Side of Glory. And many of you may not know Tom Harding because a lot of you are fairly new to the church, but Tom, in the military, he was in charge of logistics and inventory, and he takes care of all the cataloging and the inventory of all the Good Samaritan Christmas shoebox supplies that come in. So he gave me a list of needed items this past week, and part of those needed items was in the bulletin today that we need to start working on gathering up some of those things. And in talking with Tom, he told me, he says, we have marble bags that are coming in, but he says, we don't have any marbles. And I told him that we had marbles, but we lost all the marbles when we decided to start a school. To an unbelieving world, when you walk in the light of God's word and when you walk in faith, there will be times in your life that you will be accused of losing your marbles. In your life, you're crazy, or that's a cult, or what are you doing? When you decide that you're going to walk in faith, walk in the truth of God's word, there's going to be those in an unbelieving world that is going to think that you have lost your mind. In Romans 8, 7, in the NLT, it says it this way, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. So people driving by on Highway 5 every Sunday think that we have lost our marbles because we have decided as people of faith that we are going to attend church. James 4:4 says it this way. It says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. Amen. The other day I was in Knoxville and I drove by the airport, and here are all these people that are jumping out of a perfectly good airplane.
That's crazy.
And now I think they have lost their marbles. The world would rather take the word of a pilot and the word of the person that folded their parachute rather than the word of our creator of the universe. The world can say we have lost our marbles, but we at Crossroads Gospel are going to believe the word, we're going to stand on the word, and we're going to share the word with the world. Amen. When I check out of this world, I want to be standing on the right side of glory. Amen. And I know that being in this place today, I am standing on the right side of glory. When you think about it through biblical history, you're standing in pretty good company if there are those that are saying you're crazy for following God or you have lost your marbles for what you're doing.
Praise the Lord.
Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 this morning. We're not going to stay in any one of these spots for very long. We're going to move right through this. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 through 6. Genesis 2. Verse 5 through 6, and I know we're limited on lighting, so it might be hard for some of you to see. But in verse 5 of Genesis 2, it says, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. And there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. They'd never experienced rain. Do you think that there was anybody that told Noah that he had lost his marbles for building an ark? Abraham came from an unbelieving family. And they must have thought that he had lost his marbles because God said go and Abraham went. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel decided to stand with God rather than the world, and they could have faked it and said, oh yeah, we're going to bow down, but we don't really mean it. But they refused to even do that. There had to be those that thought that they had lost their marbles by serving the one true God. Job's wife said that Job was crazy. She said, of everything that has taken place in your life in Job chapter 2, she says, why don't you just lay down and die and curse God? But Job still didn't. He must have been one that had lost his marbles. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The whole chapter talks about those that made a decision to follow after God when the world was doing the opposite. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Go down to verse 6. Verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." They go to verse 8. And verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, which the builder and the maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, and the multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called in mind that the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better. And it is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed as he called their God, as he has prepared a city for them." Hallelujah. Amen. Saints, you have a city that is prepared for you, and it's not in the United States of America. It's not on this earth. But look, we're looking for that heavenly city. Amen. In our faith and in our life. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 26. And we're going to look at somebody else that was told he had lost his mind. Acts chapter 26. We won't read the whole thing. I'll try to give you just a little bit of background. So in Acts 26, Paul is going before the court, and he is allowed to be his own witness. In verse 23, he says this, verse 23. So Acts 26 and verse 23, "that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim life to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles." Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." You're crazy. You've lost your marbles. But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" "I know that you believe." And then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." So Paul on trial was allowed to defend himself. Listen to the words in verse 24. "Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad.' But he said, 'I'm not mad. most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escape his attention. And since this thing was not done in court in a corner, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And he said, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it tells us, an unbelieving world is without excuse. It goes on to say, they are rejecting God and they know that it's true. The reason that they know it is the truth, because the whole world proclaims that there is a creator of the universe.
Amen.
That everyone is without an excuse. Say, well, I don't know, I don't think. You don't have an excuse. Because all of the universe proclaims his glory. In John chapter 6, verse 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Agrippa's accusation of Paul losing his marbles was a cover-up for what he knew to be true. When you look at verse 26 again, he says this, for the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. The same creation that shouted a creator to you is shouting it to the unbelieving world. The same spirit that drew you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the same spirit that is drawing the unbeliever to them. It is the same spirit that is drawing them. No, saints, you're not the ones that have lost your marbles. You're the only ones that have the marbles.
Amen.
Today we glory in God's goodness. In verse 29, Paul says, I desire for everyone to have what I have except for these chains. Paul said, I know you believe. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this world that don't go to church. There's a lot of people in this world that have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you can walk up to them and say, I know that you believe. You see, the Lord wants people to be saved. He wants your children to be saved. He wants your grandchildren to be saved more than you would ever want them to be saved. Why? It's because he's the one that gave the only begotten Son so they could be saved.
Amen.
So all of creation is shouting that we have a Creator. The Holy Spirit is drawing everyone unto him, but they are the ones that are deciding to reject it. Sometimes when we witness to people and we get a stark rejection back to us, it's not that they are really rejecting us. They're rejecting the truth of God's word because creation has spoke to them and the Spirit has drawn them and they do not want it in their lives. Paul said, I know you believe. The question is, can you believe and not be saved? And the answer is, yes, you can believe and not be saved. Because you must not only believe, but you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
He was not ready to do that, was he? Verse 28, almost convinced. Almost only counts with horseshoes and hand grenades, is what I've been told. You must accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. 2 weeks ago, well, I think it was on the night of the ice cream social. And that particular night, there might have been a lot of people that were unbelievers, but they were family members and they'd come in. But let me tell you, when I walked out of here on that Sunday night, I don't think anybody could walk out of this church that Sunday night and have not felt the presence of God.
Amen.
You had to be shutting it off in your life if you did. That night, Marlon Behrens, he came up and talked to me. And he says, I believe that we are at now, where you're at now, where you're sitting right now. He says, I believe that someday it will become a school.
Amen.
And you're going to build on a brand new worship center.
Amen.
You know what I thought? Have you lost your mind? But we must never limit God's vision.
That's right.
We must never limit God's vision, because God can do whatever He wants to do.
Amen.
All He wants is people to believe that God can do whatever that He wants to do. Sometimes we limit our vision to what we can afford or what we think that we can do. Because as it says at the bottom of your bulletin today in Luke chapter 1 verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
For with God nothing will be impossible.
Amen.
You are a wonderful group of people. And you have been so loving and kind to Carol and I and our family. And I just couldn't go on enough about it. It's been a blessing to serve you. And it's been a blessing to serve at this church. And as long as the Lord's going to keep us going, we're going to keep on going with God. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever God wants, that's what we want. That's what we want to take place. I want everyone in Marion County, and we can go further, I want everyone in Marion County to be saved and come to this church. I
Amen.
Want that.
Amen.
We want everyone to know Jesus. Now, we know not everybody's going to come to this church. I realize that. But that everybody knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are attending church somewhere on Sunday morning in a faith-believing group. God bless you all. This is a wonderful, special day. And I wrote it in my notes so I'd never lose track of it. This is the day, the very first day, that we were able, and I know it's not done and we got a long ways to go, but this was the first day that we were able to sit in the new sanctuary.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah. Amen. Please stand with me today. Father, you are so awesome that you have performed this before our very eyes, and we praise you, and we praise you, and we praise you. And I pray over these faithful people, Lord, today that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon each and every one of them. Father, be with us this week. Be with the teachers at the school. Be with the students. And Father, may it be a good week that, Father, we can be blessed by your presence. And Lord, we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody this week. Father, I pray that you'll be with us as we go our separate ways. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.